Welcome. This morning we're reading from the Epiphany story, Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let us pray. Lord, please be with us this morning. Bring your Holy Spirit into this place and guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide my words to bring glory to you. Amen. I must begin with an apology. My plan is to debunk the legend that is the story of the wise men. So if you are heavily invested in the kings with camels in your nativity, feel free to go heat up your food for the potluck. However, if you are like me and treasure the legend along with the knowledge of the truth that requires a little digging, then stay put. Let's dig into Matthew 2. Our embellished version of Matthew 2 comes from the Gnostics and their tradition. According to Gnosticism for Dummies, because there is an everything for dummies, I learned at the hospital I can pray the rosary for dummies. It says Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis for knowledge. From the 1st century BC to the 5th century AD, Gnostics believed in secret knowledge, whereas the Jews and Christians were free and public about disclosing the truth divinely revealed by God. The Gnostics embellished the simple story of the Magi coming to pay homage to Jesus. They added to the story, and it continued to be passed down from the ages and is believed to be the gospel truth by biblical scholars, theologians, and John and Jane Q. Public. But why? These facts are not in the account of the birth of Jesus that we just read in the book of Matthew. And it's not in the book of Luke, the two gospels which contain the birth narratives. So I had to dig a little and do a little reading. Matthew is written for the Jews in Judea. It wasn't written for Gentiles. It wasn't written for individuals like us living outside of Judea. The account of Jesus' birth, life, teaching, death, and resurrection was written to put into print the oral traditions of the time. Most likely written just 10 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus' disciple Matthew made connections to Jewish prophecies and historic events that the Jews could have identified with. So let's unpack Matthew. Verse 1, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Our historic timeline has been established. Herod is king, Jesus has been born. It's 6 BC in Judea. Matthew continues by saying, wise men from the east come to Jerusalem. The Jews from Judea would have known what the east meant, just like we know what it means when someone says they are from the south. The east for the Judeans was east of where they were. In other words, Nabatea or Arabia. However, as time progressed and the Christians moved, especially after the Roman destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the east took on a whole new meaning. If we moved west, then the south might mean Texas or Arizona. But from our perspective, right here in New Jersey, south means southeastern United States. Similarly, east for the Judeans meant Arabia. But for the Gnostics, who were from the north, east meant Persia. So Persia became the standard by which we were taught to believe the wise men came from. And the wise men, or magi, as the original text says, were astrologers. They were learned men who studied the stars and the constellations and gave wise counsel to the kings. Being astrologers, they would have found meaning in the planets of Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter coming together in the constellation of Pisces. Pisces was known to astrologers then and now as the constellation that represented Judea. So the next verse, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. Herod the Great was king of the Jews. It's completely logical that these men would have traveled to Jerusalem to the palace of Herod to pay tribute to the king of the Jews. Paying homage was a diplomatic courtesy call. The king of Nabatea was King Aretas IV. The Herods and the Nabataeans were connected through King Herod's mother and Herod's son. It was a very small world. But there was bad blood between these two kings, and Herod controlled the trade route in Gaza. So King Aretas needed to make nice. And what better way to make nice than to send gifts to welcome the newborn king? Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Herod was an ambitious man, and also a paranoid man. He had some of his sons executed because he was worried they might kill him for his throne. So it's no wonder that the court was frightened by the visitors looking for the king of the Jews. The chief priests and the scribes quote the prophecy from Micah 5, chapter 2, verse 2. What is unique about the Nabataean culture is that it was a religious melting pot. At the base of that melting pot was Abraham and the Abrahamic traditions. But also when King Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, many of the Jews escaped to Nabatea. These magi would most likely have known the Hebrew prophecies. Let's continue with verse 7. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The representatives from King Aretas IV's court came looking for an heir to Herod, bringing diplomatic gifts from the country's biggest cash crops. But instead, they are sent into Bethlehem by Herod and the star to find a young girl and her child in a house. And they present to Mary and Jesus the gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were the chief commodities of Nabatea. The richest gold mines were in Arabia, and the trees where you harvest the resin to make frankincense and myrrh are both found in Arabia. Now we find all sorts of symbolism in the gifts that they brought. Gold is given to royalty, frankincense was used to worship, and myrrh is a perfume used in the burial process. Gold would have been needed to make the journey into Egypt to escape Herod. I believe that God can use what we bring to God for God's great purposes. Even if the intent was just to make nice between two feuding kings, God can make those gifts work for his better good. So that's the debunking of the legend. An unknown number of astrologers rode Arabian horses from Arabia to Jerusalem to bring political gifts to King Herod, but instead find a young woman and her toddler in a house. I like that story too. But underneath the story is a bigger story of how God is here for people outside of our religious community. There is a story here of how God's embrace in Jesus Christ reaches the lowly shepherds tending the sacrificial sheep outside of Jerusalem in Bethlehem. A story of how God's embrace in Jesus Christ reaches the Magi, Gentile scientists from another country and from a different religious tradition. And it's a story of how God's embrace reaches the scribes and the Pharisees through the Magi who brought gifts to the wrong party. In Jesus Christ, no one is beyond God's embrace, and nobody is beyond Jesus' ministry. Some of us get the angels startling us and singing about how awesome God is. And there are others of us who see a star in the distance and methodically and sincerely seek what is at the end of the star's tail. But either way, all people receive the good news that is Jesus Christ. So go and seek the Christ child for yourself. Amen.